Welcome. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, your host for the Worldwide Vegan Transformation Summit for Truth and Freedom. We now have the remarkable opportunity to learn from the unusually deep experience and the inspiring example of Dr. Brian Clement. Dr. Clement has been the director of Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida now for over 40 years, building it into a world-class vegan healing facility that helps many thousands of people every year achieve dramatic improvements in their health. Dr. Clement has authored more than 25 books, filmed more than 2,000 hours of educational material, and is one of the most prolific experts in the variety of arenas that contribute to exceptional wellness. He is the author of the 3-volume academic series entitled Food is Medicine, and his many popular books include Life Force, 7 Ways to Lifelong Sexual Vitality, Killer Fish, Dairy Deception, Sweet Disease, Poison Poultry, and many others. He has lectured in over 47 states and 28 countries and has devoted over 100,000 hours to practical and clinical experience, directly helping tens of thousands of people transform their lives. Dr. Clement is an acknowledged boundary breaker. He has unshakable confidence in the power of the mind and body to prevent and conquer disease and premature aging. He has a tremendous amount of experience using these nutritional and other methods we'll be hearing about to help bring peace and harmony and healing into the lives of countless people. So, Dr. Clement, I'm so glad to have you with us, and I'd like to go ahead here and just begin by asking you if you could please tell us, I think, what everybody is really curious about, which is from your vast well of experience in dealing with health, what would you say right now during this health crisis that's global are the most important things for people to keep in mind and to actually act upon to maximize their well-being?
Well, thanks, Will. What people forget, even those of us who have ventured into the sanity of embracing a plant-based diet, is that the power of the human body, this is something that evolved over thousands, tens of thousands of years. And why we have survived and endured so many problems in the past is because of the immune system inside of us, which is a web of highly intelligent cells, eosinophils, basophils, neutrophils, granulocytes, and all of these individually search out and fight and eliminate certain enemies. And viruses are one of those. And let me sort of give you a little scientific trip into what has happened. The so-called novel virus is not so novel. That Dr. Martin, and some of you may want to get pens and papers to check behind me, because we have limited time together, is a man who actually runs the largest worldwide organization that gives patents to corporations, including pharmaceutical companies. And back in 2000, he started to look at what happened starting in 1999. And there was a slew, actually 4,000 to give an exact number to you, of patents going on these coronaviruses. Now, to achieve a patent, you actually have to make the virus. They won't give you a patent normally under civil conditions for a non-man-made virus. So you can't say, well, we're robbing nature and going to patent it.
That's a really critical point. I just want to jump in here and say, so way back in 2000, you're talking about Dr. David Martin, he shows the evidence that people are creating viruses so they can patent them, virus.
And yeah, so Pfizer was the first one that did this virus in 1999. So the first patent was 1999. And the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control patent this very virus. They call the bat virus. or the China virus in 2004. And you can look up the patent numbers. Later, you may want to give your listeners the patent numbers. I can give you those numbers. And so this is public information. So this isn't hearsay or me talking about something I understand. I will never tell you anything I can't support scientifically. So this we know. It happened in April of 2004. There has now been 120 companies or governments that have patented the exact virus, which is a splicing, a very odd splicing that would, I shouldn't say never happen in nature, but would be such an oddity in nature, we think it's impossible in biology, where they actually took something like the common cold, put it together with SARS, which I believe was patented too, and spread in China intentionally, and along with the RNA of HIV. So those babies don't marry one another usually. They're not that attractive to one another. But somehow they came together between 1999, 22 years ago, and now. There's been 120 identical, not novel viruses. Dr. Martin also told us this was manufactured initially by the company that got a patent under the auspices of a guy called Dr. Fauci, who runs the Epidemiological Center for Disease and Infectious Disease, et cetera, at the University of North Carolina. And when Congress found out, or some of the more legitimate congressmen, it's an oxymoron almost, found out, they demanded it wasn't done on American soil, and it was then a pact between China and the United States, where we took $314 million tax dollars and sent it to Wuhan, China, which is their biowarfare laboratory. Now, so I'll preface this. I don't watch Fox News, and I'm not a right-wing Republican. I'm a scientist. So let's start with that.
Right.
And all of this can be confirmed because I can give you the dates, I can give you the time, I can give you the patents. And once again, the NIH and the CDC did this. Now, it was actually in 2004 in writing put as a potential biowarfare organism at that point. Now, let's come up to now and what you hear on your news and what is obviously frightened enough people so you're making decisions you possibly would not have made 2 years ago. At least you articulated you wouldn't make those decisions. The time they went for the patent office turned them down twice and said, you can't patent a man-made virus. And there was money exchanged, and I can't accuse because I don't know that part of it, but it looks very suspicious to me that somebody got money somehow, and the patent was given, and then they actually paid additional sums of money, so for a period of time, it wasn't in public information. Now it is again. You can find this. Only via Dr. Martin, God bless his soul, and his courage, and his integrity. That's all I can say. And so with all of that said, it suspiciously was not the way epidemiology usually works. So if China was the birthplace of this, because somebody ate a bat, it would have spread through Asia and then slowly gone into Europe. It wouldn't have ended up in Kirkland, Washington, and on islands in the South Pacific where we basically don't have flights coming in and out. And it wouldn't have been as many strains as rapidly as you see. So what we do know is that the Delta virus now is more contagious and less deadly. The original one was, now this particular virus, like many, morphs and changes every 10 hours. Let me say this again, for if you don't understand basic virology, I'd have to repeat this for you. This virus every 10 hours is uniquely different. Not the virus it was this morning at 12:01 a.m. By 10 o'clock in the morning, it's a different virus. And that's 2.5 times it morphs and changes, and this could go on forever. Now, notice the media is dropping bombs. The next one may be worse. this is bad. We have to get more shots. And let's give some facts again. Everything I'm giving you is factual. There's a country in the world that came to the pharmaceutical companies better than the rest of us. Here we're doing a pretty good job going along with the program, but the superstar of this is Israel. 93% of the public in Israel has been fully vaccinated. And they have one of the highest outbreaks of the variant Delta. And the answer by the pharmaceutical companies and the government that's in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, because they have such a great brain trust in Israel, from the great scientists in the world, is let's get more vaccine. Now, initially, why many of you chose to take a vaccine, it was to prevent the virus. Did we forget that? And I'll repeat once again. The country of Israel, the most vaccinated country in the world, they can't say, well, only half of you were vaccinated, so you're the bad guys, and we'll put a scarlet letter on you, and you're giving us the virus. This is a fully vaccinated country. And they have one of the highest, more high than most American states. Okay. Now, the country where my son's in medical school, at the top medical school in Europe, Sweden, chose not to shut down, not to wear a mask, and have a very, very slight death rate of people who had preconditions, pretty much. Now, these are factual statements. You're not going to hear this on the news. And by the way, you probably won't find it on the internet, because every time truth comes out or honesty comes out on the internet, they shut it down. How about the group of 10,000 women that were sharing they were having miscarriages because of shedding after taking the virus? Now, you've been on my campus here, Will, and you know that we've never closed down, but everyone that comes in before they enter the program has a check for the virus. We check them here. Every week, we check people for the virus. The only people we've had any problems with are people who have been vaccinated. And I'll give you a great story. About 2-3 months ago, a man that was here took the vaccine. 10 days later, he's having symptoms. We test him, he has a virus. So he comes to other people sitting at a table here and says, I got the virus at Hippocrates. And one of the guests were pretty wise, said, look at 14 of us here don't have the virus. You have the virus and none of us have been vaccinated. You've been vaccinated. Do any of you know what a vaccine is? They're giving you the virus. This is what it is. Now, let me say this to you. The concept of vaccines work. Just the vaccines they're giving you are dangerous. Ever since the 1980s, they have not scientifically researched any vaccines on the planet Earth. Let me repeat this. And you're going to hear your doctors, when you bring this up, lie to you. Just check behind the truth. There has not been a double-blind study done on any vaccine since the 1980s. Because that was when the governments and the pharmaceuticals decided you can't sue them for vaccines. So they have no fault. Here in the United States, which is supposed to be a free country, if you have the courage and the deep pockets enough, the money, if you sue, if your child dies or gets maimed by a vaccine and you can prove it, you have to sue the U.S. government. You have to go to Washington. There's only one court. It's the U.S. government court, and you have to sue the government. Because, again, the government took responsibility for the deaths and the maiming of people through vaccines back in the 1980s. So people make decisions based upon reality, not what you hear or fear or what your neighbor says or what your good doctor says, who may not know all of this. I don't think all doctors are bad men and women. I think that they did it for the right reason. And I think, you know, if I'm doing the wrong thing, I don't want to know I'm doing the wrong thing many times. And so this is what you see going on. So with that said, I think in a nutshell, I've just explained my understanding of this. And the science I can support it with, and you've got to make decisions. Now, so here at the Institute, when medicine has failed, when once again, for another time, the pharmaceutical remedy doesn't work, people come here. And they've been doing that for the longest of any center like this on the planet, ever since 1956. So when you hear the term natural or holistic or alternative. We invented it. So we were the institute that invented all that you call mainstream or normal today. And we've had the sickest people come into a clinical setting where our medical team works with these people. And our entire focus and objective is to boost and strengthen the immunity. So how do you worry about preventing this? You don't. You boost your immune system. Your immune system is your best friend in the world. If you're lonely, don't be. Talk to your immune system because it is your best friend. Every disease you've ever reversed, every disease you haven't contracted, and all of the aging that hasn't happened is because of your immune system, not because of the Hippocrates program or some supplement that you take. Now, what have we established over 65 years as being the number one, the number two, or number three things that support the immune system? That costs nothing, by the way, except the basic things we all have to pay for. Number one, overwhelmingly, is attitude. If you said to me, what's the quickest way to get somebody well? Attitude, 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 and attitude. If people have affirmative thoughts, that's the number one way. Why do I know this to be a fact? Every year, between 3 and 6 people here go into spontaneous remission from stage 4 disease. So as a science guy, these people, it's impossible for them to get well in a 2, 3, 4 week period. When they physically get well, and we document that medically, that was an emotional shift that made that happen. On the contrary, I can show you people that come here who aren't sick and get themselves sick and die from something that's nonsense because they worked themselves up into what is my purpose. I've been to 10 doctors. I've been to 12 doctors. I've been to the best doctors in the world. And they all tell me I'm sick. Guess what? You become the sick guy. So inversely, you can make yourself sick. And by watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and them working you up every day, you can get yourself sick. Now, that's not New Age baloney. That's cutting edge science, what we're talking about now. Number two, your diet. Now, most of you listening are wise enough not to kill and eat animals and drink milk from their bosom and rob the little baby chickens called eggs. At least you have that going for you. Now, you probably are eating Beyond Burgers or Impossible Burgers and hurting yourself, but not as well as you would with hamburgers and eggs. Now, with all of that said, we've gone to the place where every creature on Earth has gone to. Every single species and creature on the planet Earth, except humans, eat a raw food diet. You say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. I feed my dog dried food. In nature, a wolf, a dog, eats raw food. They don't eat dried dog food. They don't eat canned food. Pigeons don't eat popcorn in nature. They eat it when they're in a city because you've taken over their land. 100% of every species, 100% of every creature, except the human species, eat 100% raw diet. So our very wise founder in 1952, she was told she was going to die from stage 4 cancer. She healed it in 1956, opened the institute, said, we're going to put everyone on raw diets. Because she was smart enough not to listen to the doctors or the scientists or Harvard that told her she was going to die. She went and looked at what other creatures did. And she actually did studies, you don't call them studies, they were sort of common sense thing. She would put animals in the room and watch what they ate. And guess what? They were all eating raw food. So we've been now having a clinical setting where hundreds of thousands of people have been through this program, more than any other program in the history of humanity, and watching with our medical team and blood tests and scanning what happens when you put people on a raw diet. Guess what it does? It strengthens and boosts the immune system remarkably more than just on a vegan diet. On a vegan diet, you may heal cancer. You may heal heart disease. You may heal them. On this diet, it's an enigma if you don't. So what is going to strengthen that body? So if you're exposed to the virus, that's it. Now, are there food-based vegan supplements? Don't say vegan supplements make me sick to my stomach. Because you can put on a chemical supplement the word vegan. Most of these vegan supplements I wouldn't give to an enemy of mine. You need a food-based, organic, plant-based vegan supplement. And if you take that form, as we make, for instance, vitamin D at high levels, I have studies right here in my drawer that say 100% of people with high vitamin Ds were asymptomatic. Now, you don't see that in a study. You got 80%. That's remarkable. It's 100% of the people that have exceptionally high amounts of vitamin D asymptomatic. So what does that mean? I should be telling you to take food-based vitamin D. Zinc. I take massive amounts of zinc every day because it protects your immune system better than any other nutrient known to man. And there's a wonderful company out of California called Eden that makes the least expensive and most effective zinc. It's ionic, electrically charged like you'd find in the cells of a plant. Get zinc from Eden Company and take several drops more than it says on the bottle. You're going to prevent problems with that. Another thing is saunas. I live in a sauna. I'm in a sauna every day, 365 days. I just got back from the New York lecture tour. Every day I was in a sauna. It kills a virus. Way back a year and a half ago, we knew this virus died at lower than body temperature. Your body temperature is 98.5, 98.6. This dies at 91, 92 degrees. So guess what? If you have that in your body, that's it. And once somebody gets the virus, if you're on a healthy plant-based diet, you have a great attitude, and the last one, if you move your butt and exercise, high-speed walking, you know, lift weights. I've been a vegan for 51 years. I've been a raw fooder for most of that time. And by the way, I'm not skinny. I should be really skinny, not eating and drinking juices, and that's it. But I lift heavy weights. So all of that strengthens the immune system. Attitude number one, food number two, close second to food, by the way, or close third to food, is weightlifting, stretching, and aerobic exercise. Wear out outside if you can. We have an outside gym here. I don't always use it. I'll admit it. When it gets 95 and 100% humidity, I'm inside. But the reality is, once it gets cool, I'm in the outside gym here. Because outside kills the virus. Outside, you're not going to get contaminated with the virus. And outside's sort of fun. Birds are singing. It's sunny outside. Wind's blowing. You know, where we were for most of the time as human beings is outside as nomads, farmers. All at once, the industrial age came. We're all locked up in offices watching Netflix series on the environment, which is really odd as hell, but, you know, that's it. So this is not something to fear. It's something to conquer. It's not something to succumb to be part of the problem. You're part of the problem if you go along with the problem. And don't think that you don't have a responsibility. People say you have a social responsibility to be vaccinated. You have a social responsibility to say no to tyranny. You have a social responsibility to say no to evil and to darkness. You say no to meat, which is evil. Why are you saying no to these evil people that are treating you like meat? That's the question. That's the question. If you don't think you're being treated like meat, people, something's seriously wrong with your judgment. If you think you're spiritual and not thinking this way, you have a long way to go. You're in the dark. You're not in the light. And when you really pull your head above the clouds and you start to see the vista of what's going on, everything is still beautiful, except people who allow themselves to be victimized. And this is the largest victimization of the human race in the history of humanity. Yes, we've had Hitler. Yes, we've had Stalin. Yes, we've had Mussolini. That was not a global outreach. That was a general, horrible, regional concern. This is a global outreach where the evil forces, and I can't say evil loud and clear enough and spell it in larger letters than evil. This is evil. Have never undertaken such a project as they have now. And by the way, you're taking vaccines that have not been researched scientifically. They just rushed the Pfizer vaccine through pre-approval. That was supposed to be approved that vaccine in 2023. That's when it was slated to. And if the vaccines in the past haven't been researched, how about this one? They used to take 7 years to research. This one take less than 7 months to research. So if you don't mind being the a guinea pig for an animal study, I guess you're on the right track. But the best thing I've seen on this was a cartoon. Not all of the hundreds of hours of research science that I've been reading from around the world on it. It was two rats speaking. And one rat said to the other rat, are you going to take the vaccine? And the rat responded by saying, no, I'm going to wait to see how the humans work out.
Human trials, right?
Human trial, right?
Wow. Thank you, Brian. You know, I think you've really hit on a huge range of incredibly important issues and the immune system. What do you think, and I know we don't have a whole lot more time here. That was a tour de force, really. But what do you think is the immune system that we have as human beings to protect us from deceptive, tyrannical forces that have taken over the government, the pharmaceutical industry, the media, to such a degree? How do we, you think, respond most effectively to keep our freedom and to not allow our children to inherit a world where they're treated like chickens and pigs and cows? This seems to be the way things are moving. Even a lot of vegans are going along with that kind of tyrannical program. So I'm wondering, what kind of immune system can we develop to protect ourselves from this pathogen, in a sense, of a toxic or deceptive whole series of powers that have inserted themselves into our public life here?
It's funny you ask the question, because just today my lecture to the guest on campus was exactly on that subject, and not specific to the vaccine, but to what we're addressing today. I always picture 95% of the world's global population of being under a rock, under pressure, pain, dark, cold, dreary, and saying, oh my God, life is a struggle. And on the same rock on the top, 5% is sunbathing and saying, isn't it a wonderful day? And the difference between the people who are sunbathing and saying it's a wonderful day and those in the dark is emotional intelligence. And you may be intellectual. We may be well-educated and well-read and highly proficient in articulation and in the written word and showmanship and all of the other nonsense. But if we don't have emotional intelligence, we don't have the spiritual wherewithal to prevent the robbing of the human soul. And that's what I see happening now, that this is the biggest theft that has ever occurred in the history of our species, that our souls are being drained out of us. And I've seen more depression, more lost people in the last year and a half than I've seen in my entire life, dealing with lost and sick people, people who were perfectly fine, never took a drink in their life, have become alcoholics now. People are committing suicide at the highest level per capita than in history of our records in the United States. And the emotional person, which is a gauge to your spiritual wherewithal, I wrote a book on this called Emo Spirit, is actually what we have to strengthen. Our new muscle to strengthen is not our physical muscle or biological muscle. It's that ability. And the way you strengthen is your emotions is search for happiness and make it happen. Period. There's no other way to get your emotions stabilized. And it's hard for people because you don't think the natural state is happy. You think the natural state is pain and suffering because you're under the rock. You're under the boulder. It's dark. It's cold. Everyone's crying. Everyone's agreeing. Oh, it's bad here. Yes, it's bad here. You know how bad it is? And all you have to do is crawl out from under the rock and get up in the sun and say, wow, what a beautiful day it is. But happy is what you have to achieve. And most of you, when you hear me say this, you say, oh, it's unrealistic. It's utopic. It's wrong that you think that. It's wrong that you don't think happiness is the right way to be. I'm happy almost all of the time. I'm not saying I don't have the same human concerns that you have, that I'm not upset about what's going on, and that I don't get down sometimes. But overwhelmingly, I'm a happy person because I choose to be happy. It's a choice. You've been given a free will. You know, we forget that. Biblically, every great writing and spirituality in the history of humanity, no matter what religion, philosophy, theology it is, tells you that your free will governs your reality. And so if we're not using that, how dare us say that it's good enough just to be a vegan? It's not good enough just to be a vegan. What are you? You're arrogant? You just want to protect your body and a few animals? How about protecting the human race and the future of the planet Earth? That's what I'm talking about. We're not talking about incidental bullshit and your own little world at this point. We're talking about the future of the entire planet Earth and humanity. That requires a deep dive into your emotional strength, your stability. And the only way is forced happiness. You think I was a happy guy when I started all of this over half a century ago? I was a piss-ass angry guy from New York. All I gave a shit about is getting loaded and being with women. That was my entire world. And I can tell you, my diet helped to change my attitude, but it wasn't my diet alone. It was my self-respect that finally did it. And I realized that being angry wasn't as nice as being happy. Being upheavaled and unraveled wasn't as nice as knowing what I was going to do and knowing how I was going to do it. And you have the ability to create the road to reality that is kind and beautiful, and not only for yourself and your health and for the creatures, but for everything. Remember, there's so many species that we haven't even identified yet. And none of us are truly not killers. The only people who come close to it are the Jains. The Jains, when I was in India teaching with the Prime Minister of India there, they were the people at least attempting not to kill every life form with masks on. I don't go that far. Now you're wearing masks. Maybe that's the only good part of this whole thing. You're not killing the microbes.
Wow. Thank you. I think you've given everyone a tremendous gift by speaking up on behalf of people. And also, maybe you can say a few words about children, because to me, what I'm seeing here that really hurts me the most, I guess, is seeing children being raised under this specter of fear, of covering their faces, that they're going to make other people sick just by breathing and just by existing. What can we do to help relieve or bring light into that situation with children?
Well, I have four children that are both all men and women at this point, but they've given me a blessing of 8 grandchildren. And I watch what these children are going through. And I have 2 grandchildren. One was 2 years old yesterday in New York City. They're wildly different than my 3 grandchildren in Oregon. Different environments, different political messaging that goes on. To my daughter with my 3 grandchildren that live in Florida. You know, and again, my son who's in medical school in Sweden. They don't even know this is going on in the rest of the world. So I'm really sitting here. It's like having 4 channels on the TV. And I can say something to you, that when a little baby, my 2-year-old granddaughter, has not been alive other than when this insanity that's been going on. So she's watched her mother and father come home with a mask. I knew what my mother and father looked like. When they go out, especially in New York City, they're under all kinds of restriction. They see mom and dad, they feel mom and dad when they're watching the news and people are dying and they're in hospitals. And that's translated over to these children. So when I was a little child, all I remember my mother and father doing is kissing me, loving me, and telling me how great everything was. Can you imagine my 2-year-old grandchild? And I asked her yesterday, did you blow your candles out? And she said, I didn't want to. And she probably didn't want to because she didn't feel the joy of having a birthday party. at 2 years old. So what do I think about this? I think, you know, number one, Adolf Hitler afflicted two or three generations of people. He had children marching with their hands up against Jews and against artists and against intellectuals and against gay people in Germany. But Germany has changed. Germany now has some of the most open-minded, warm-hearted people. I just went and did a program there. So I know we have hope, but we only have hope when you don't give up. We only have hope when you sit with your children and your grandchildren, and children, even if you don't have children and grandchildren that you haven't the honor to spend time with, and tell them everything's okay. Everything's perfectly fine. And the real remedy is my favorite movie. Watch that movie. And this is the time to watch that movie. Life is Beautiful. That movie touched me so deeply. I've never been in a theater. And I talked to my friends all over the world. They said the same thing happened in theaters in Europe and in Asia, where everyone sat and cried after the movie. It rolled. It stopped. We sat and cried for 5 minutes because it was so beautiful. And that movie, I'm not going to give it away, but the message is no matter what's going on around you, if you remain committed to light and truth and true spirituality, not quasi make-believe New Age spirituality, because you eat vegetables. That doesn't make you a good person, people. That only gives you the fuel you can be a good person, but you become a good person from that fuel, not because of the fuel. And that was the message of that movie. That's why I can watch it 100 times and watch it another 100 times.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Clement. I really think we're very privileged and honored to have your message on this and take these things to heart. So I really want to just appeal to everyone who's listening and watching to think deeply about these truths that we've just heard, and that as vegans, we're partway there, but that's not the whole story. We need to continue our spiritual, psychological, emotional transformation so that we're not part of the problem, that we're actually part of the solution, as you're saying. Can you just tell everyone, maybe in closing, how they can find out more about the work you're doing?
Well, sure. We have so many ways. You know, we have a free quarterly magazine that comes out. Matter of fact, the last two issues, the current one, which is on freedom, has a lot to do with science on vaccines. And from some of the great voices, the last one had one of the leading vaccine research scientists in the world begging you not to take this vaccine. But it's not all about vaccines. It's about health and everything else. We have Hippocrates TV, where we do interviews with some of the world's leading authorities. Matter of fact, Will has been on my show, and with Anna Maria, my wife, and his wife, who are really our guiding lights. The woman, the heart, the beauty of our species is that softness. And without my wife, I wouldn't be the man I am. Without my mother, I wouldn't be the man I am. And we also have radio programs for free. You can listen to podcasts, as you call them today. Yesterday, I talked to a woman who basically communicates for families through sick people who can't speak anymore. It was so heart-wrenching and beautiful to listen to a truth teller. And then we had a series on breast implants and the criminal activity, I consider, of plastic breast implants being put into women to make them more valuable to men. You know, this is a bizarre thing. So, you know, everything from soft to intense. And what you heard me say today is who I am and who this institute is. So if you don't like the truth, don't tune into Hippocrates. You like hearing the truth, then it's a place you want to, and you may want to come here. You know, we transform people's lives here every single day, and we haven't stopped in 65 years.
Wow, thank you for that. I have to say that there's an absolute flood of positive, uplifting, inspiring information that is being put out by Hippocrates through the media and all these different forms of media, but the actual 60-acre campus, which has been called the healthiest place on planet Earth. And I think It's a place where really we saw miracles happening. We were there, people come in with cancer, and just to see them, how their tests improve, how people who have such severe arthritis, they can hardly walk, and then they're dancing a few weeks later. So, I think it's really important to understand that these aren't just abstract philosophical concepts. This is reality that's manifest through human consciousness and activity. So thank you very much, Dr. Brian Clement, for joining us, and we really appreciate all the efforts of Hippocrates and you and Anna Maria and everyone.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, it's no effort for me, I can tell you. This is a lot of fun. To be living at a human level is what all of us should be doing, because believe me, it takes a big burden off you, and before you know it, you're sunbathing on top of the boulder. Take care. Be well.
Thank you.